Okay, I'm going to stop here with Phillips and give you the test here that we have for next week so that you have it. Memory verses, all right? Memory verses are, where are we at? Right, the memory verse, and Marge, you didn't put the memory verse on the test. Oh, I don't believe this. Can you believe this? And I threw the other one. I don't believe it. Okay, question two. Who helped lay the groundwork for the New American Standard Version and later denounced any affiliation with it, labeling it as fraudulent and corrupt? The answer is Dr. Frank Logsdon, L-O-G-S-D-O-N. You've got to have your spelling correct. If you're taking a class that's on a college level, you've got to know how to spell, okay? If you don't spell it right, we take all four. So you're not in grade school now. You're in learning something. Okay, question three. What committee admits that they do not use the actual manuscripts or facsimiles in their new editions? The man's name is Lewis Foster. Number four. One of the NIV editors stated that the NIV translators at times have been guilty of rendering something into the text that isn't there. Who is this man? Ronald Youngblood, and spelled exactly like it's pronounced, Youngblood. Question five, who authored the New Testament in modern English and wrote the foreword to the New American Standard Bible, Interlinear Greek-English New Testament? His name is J.B. Phillips, P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S. Okay, question six, describe four things about this so-called Bible scholar, and that is J.B. Phillips. And that's what we're on now. He was involved in necromancy, N-E-C-R-O-M-A-N-C-Y. Number two, he was a friend of his appeared and talked to him a few days after his death. You don't have to have C.S. Lewis. C, he voluntarily entered a psychiatric clinic for mental health. And number four, he lost his voice. Those four things you have to know about him. Okay, question number seven. Who was the Austrian neurologist who founded the doctrines of psychoanalyst? His name is Sigmund Freud, spelled S-I-G-M-U-N-D, Freud, F-R-U-E-D, not quite spelled like it's pronounced. Question eight, since only God can heal the brokenhearted, and we went over this morning, remember, in the NIV, only God can heal the brokenhearted, this verse is removed from all your new versions. Where is it found in the King James? Luke chapter 4 and verse 8. Your Roman Catholic Bible doesn't have it? Oh, there. I showed this to Doug Grahams up there, a Roman Catholic priest. He's still trying to find out what manuscripts his Bible came from. Goes down to Iowa. Goes to the monastery down there. Can't find out anything from it. And but what he doesn't know is, I haven't told him this yet, it comes from Westcott and Hort. That's where it come from. If you try to find out where the Jehovah's Witnesses in the New World Translation, you try to find out where, what manuscripts it comes from, you can write them, they're not going to tell you. But I happen to have a 1950 copy of the New World Translation, and it has it in the preface, Westcott and Hort. Isn't that amazing? They're not going to tell you now. And they haven't put it in since. Pretty tricky, isn't it? Isn't that pretty slick? Okay, let's go on down. Question nine, who was the man who authored the Living Bible paraphrase and also lost his voice? Kenneth Taylor, we're getting to him. In question 10, where in the Psalms does it state, let the lying lips be put to silence? Psalms chapter 31, verse 8. That verse is fulfilled in these men who have perverted the Word of God. A lot of them lost their voice. Isn't that interesting? 11. Who was the co-laborator of the New Greek Committee and directors of the American Standard Bible and also lost his voice? What was his name? We haven't got there yet. His name is Philip Schaff, S-C-H-A-F-F. Question 12. When you see in the footnote in the New King James Translation, such as N-U, remember we hit that a little bit at the beginning? N-U. Omit so-and-so verse, what does NU refer to? The answer is, and you have to have this down as we give it, Nestle Island, 26th edition, and the United Bible Society. List five verses that are missing in the NIV. There's many, many, many. I just want you to memorize five, and I give you five easy ones here, so that if you're ever with somebody or they talk about the NIV, you should have these five footnoted in your Bible, put it in the front of it, so you can reel off something here by memory, and you can do that. The five verses that I want you to know, you don't have to memorize them, but you need to know the location. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. You want to look that up, Dory? Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Give it to Tim. He'll look it up. Somebody look it up. And I'd like for you to read that out of the NIV. Matthew 17, 21. Number two, Matthew 18, 11. Number three, Matthew 23, 14. And four, Mark chapter 9, verses 44 and 46. Number five, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Okay? Question number 14. This is the last question. Tim, go down and get Marge, see if she remembers what those memory verse I was I give her. Will you? We have that on every test. You got to put that on. Question number 14. Question 14, okay? Here it is. The New King James has deceived most people into thinking it only updated obsolete 1611 English words. The truth is, from the preface, it used what corrupt Hebrew and Greek text for its translation? Okay, I have two answers here. Hebrew, you got to know. The Greek, you got to know. Okay, for the answer, when the New King James was very deceiving, it says in the preface, and we have that, if we can get to it, here's the answer. The Hebrew, the Stuttgart edition of the Biblia Hebraica, based on the Ben Asher text. Now, if you've been in our classes previously, you know what we're talking about. You have to have that full amount. Okay? The Stuttgart, Stuttgart. Now, you know what that is, because that come out of Stuttgart, Germany. That was the Bible translated from the Leningrad manuscript, the corrupt manuscript, instead of the 1700 Hebrew manuscripts that we have from the majority text. Okay? So here's the answer. Let me give you the exact the answer that you've got to have. What am I doing? That you've got to have word for word. Stuttgart edition of the Biblia, B-I-B-L-I-C-A, or B-I-B-L-I-A, Hebraica, H-E-B-R-A-I-C-A, based on the Ben Asher text. That's for the Hebrew. Now the Greek, now they have this in their preface, the Sinaitic and the Vatican manuscripts, Sinaitic and Vatican manuscripts. Okay? The memory verse, which I had them and didn't know them. So as the loving husband and the honest pastor, I shall have to apologize publicly to my wife for not having them when I had them in my hand all the time. Oh, does it humble you? Does it ever humble you? Okay, the memory verses are 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 14, and Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. 13 and 14 in 2 Corinthians are, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." You can never tell a false preacher by looking at him. If I've been in the hundreds of Pentecostal meetings, I've seen him jump up, roll on the floor, do everything you can do. And if you didn't know your Bible, you'd swear this guy was, man, he's excited. Yeah, well, after being a pastor 28, you deal with some of these misfits. When they're out of church, they have a lot of mental problems, including moral problems. I'm telling you from experience. I've dealt with them, a lot of them. Okay, so much for that, and we'll give these out to you here. They're already typed for you, and I'm sorry about that. Okay, continuing on, J.B. Phillips. Let me go and give you some more information about him. Phillips lists his contention as follows. Number one, there was a slow but inevitable diminution of the self, and it is apparently leading to self-extinction. Number two, familiar things become somehow touched with horror. The sense of alienation means that one is not in one's own country or has strayed into a strange country by mistake. Now I want to go back because the more you embed this in you, what is the verse that tells us, where is that found now, that God give us not the spirit of fear, but of the power and of a sound mind? That's right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You ought to memorize that verse. We should not be having Christians going to psychiatrists. We ought to be having Christians going to the Lord. Should we not? Sure. When we don't take the Word of God, because Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and called according to His purpose. So it doesn't matter what I go through. If I, the most precious thing I could lose in my life would be my wife. That would be the most precious thing in your life. Second would be your children. But I know one thing. That would be the hardest thing for me in the world to deal with. If that should happen, I do have this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells us we sorrow not as others which have no hope. We sorrow as a Christian because God made us that way. We love our wife and our husband and so forth. We sorrow, but not as others which have no hope. Because it wouldn't be, sweetheart, we've been together 42 years. It wouldn't be goodbye. It would only be so long for a while. There's a difference. It wouldn't be, I'll never see you again. Just be waiting for me. I'll be up there. I'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. So I have that hope of knowing, should Margie precede me in death, or vice versa, I should precede her, that it's not goodbye. It's not over. It's just so long for a while, sweetheart. So long for a while. And our home is in heaven, from which we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a hope that is. But we do sorrow. I would cry. I'd probably cry till the rapture comes, if that should happen. But I have hope and know from the Word of God, the authority of God, that I shall see you again in heaven. Should the rapture come and the dead in Christ should rise first, not which alive remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's just a matter of time. You just went ahead eternally, and the only thing death brings is a change of location. There is no sting of death to the Christian because Christ took it out when he died on the cross. Amen? Isn't it wonderful? Okay, let's go on down. And then the third thing about this. It said, a roaring, galloping torrent of condemnation is directed against the self's achievements. With remorseless energy, this particular demon, now this is J.B. Phillips, this is your man that underlines your new versions here, rushes and to and fro, up and down in one's mind, and with savage cruelty exposes everything the self has done as being useless and worthless. That's in his Ring of Truth in his biography here, page 197 and page 203. Now, let me go on. One more thing. This is a quote from this man who's supposed to be a Bible scholar, who's supposed to love the Lord, who is going to write you a Bible now and tell you, here's the best Bible. This man's so fouled up, playing around with demons and playing around with necromancy. He is a mental mess, and he's going to write you a Bible and stick it in the pastor's desk where you're at, and this is what you're going to follow. This is the kind of misfits that laid the foundation for these new versions that you have on the market today. You ought to know this. Let me read this here again. Number four, this is what he wrote. Demon, the hellish torments of the mind, utter despair, frightening experiences, seized by irrational panic, despite the use of drugs, the fears of childhood reappear with monstrous force. The experiences are really evil, and they sometimes are terrifying so. You may ask, where does the Christian faith come in all of this? The answer is probably, emotionally, it is of little help at all. This is your spiritual leader? Does this shock you that this man is laying the foundation for your new translations? He's going to help you spiritually. This man's a misfit, if he even is a believer. There's no clue of it. The answer is probably, emotionally, it is of little help. Faith is of little help. God himself appears to be far away, he writes of, praying to an empty heaven. I do not believe that there is any substitute for the long, unhurried conversations between the sufferer and the compassionate, trained psychiatrist. I sat myself down for what must be a long siege, and so it has proved. I never thought, for example, that I should ever know the type of despair that leads people to self-destruction. I know it now. Let's go on. Tampering in spiritualism and the Word of God left J.B. Phillips with the hellish torments of the mind, fostered by a demon disguised as C.S. Lewis. How contrary to the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8. Can you believe this? This is the man that's selling you a Bible. I mean, do you understand that? This is the guy that you go out and buy the new translations on the market that come out and say it's easy to understand. This is the misfit. Mentally, a nervous breakdown, talking with the dead, dealing with demons in his life, going to a psychiatrist, self-admitting himself, he can't handle it, and then he's telling you in his biography, faith doesn't work. And he's the foundation layer of the Greek that your Bibles are translated. You have got to be kidding. Good for you to learn some of this stuff so that you understand a little bit of what's behind all this. I say Satan's having a pretty good field day. He doesn't want you to have a King James Bible, which is the best translation there is to the original manuscripts. Let's go on down. In Psalms chapter 119 and verse 89, we find out. Or we'll take another. Let's see here. Psalms 118:89, the Lord says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." This is the price Phillips paid for perverting God's word on earth that was already settled in heaven in his perverted New Testament in modern English. Humanism and philosophy and psychoanalysts. Now, we gave this going to be on the test, but I'm going to give you a little information here. Sigmund Freud, born in 1856 and he died in 1939, an Austrian neurologist, was the founder of psychoanalysis and its doctrines. Now, this has come from the Webster's Encyclopedia Unabridged Dictionary. It deals with the causes and treatment of neurotic states of a person. Also, the interpretation of dreams and etc. A psychoanalyst, one who adheres to the basic doctrines of Freud. Let's go on down. This man also failed to recognize that only God can heal the brokenhearted. Now, with this in the background, and J.B. Phillips with no help from the Bible, he had to go to a psychiatrist, helps you to understand why in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where Jesus, reading from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, says, "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." They, with their psychoanalysts, it was no help to J.B. Phillips. The Holy Spirit didn't work, so therefore they took out, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, is it in there, Doreen? Is it in there? Luke chapter 4, verse 18, God came to heal the brokenhearted. It's not there. It's missing. It's not there. It's not in the Bible. It's not in your NIV. Now do you see what's behind it? Sigmund Freud, J.B. Phillips, dealing with the dead. Faith didn't help him, goes to a psychiatrist, has these hellish things running through his mind here, and talking with the dead with C.S. Lewis. Now do you understand why his philosophy comes into your Bible being translated, and he leaves out God can heal the brokenhearted because it couldn't even heal his. He was such a misfit. No wonder he took it out, because if it couldn't heal him, how in the world is it going to help you? Now do you understand why it's not in your Bible there? You should be able to get it. Does it make sense to you? You got to get a little background for it. Evidently, your New Version translators agree with Freud's philosophy that no man can cure his own problems without the Lord. Luke 4:18 doesn't have it. The entire sentence is removed from, and here's all your new versions, the New American Standard Bible, the New International Version, Good News for Modern Man, and all Catholic Bibles. It's not there. All Greek manuscripts, get this now, get this, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, all Greek manuscripts have this except, what are your two corrupt manuscripts? Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus. It's the only two manuscripts that don't have it. So they took the two manuscripts that don't have it, left it out of your Bible, and disregarded the 5,320 manuscripts that have it in. They threw away all of that and took two manuscripts which are corrupt and left it out of your Bible. It's not there. See if you can find it, Tim. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. God heal the brokenhearted. It's not there. It is in the King James. Thank God we have one Bible that preserved the manuscripts, hey? Now, Ronald Youngblood, he's one of the ones we have on your test, an NIV committeeman, admits that his committee disregarded the majority text here. Thank you, Mr. Youngblood. That's a big help. But you robbed the people of the Word of God when you left it out and you sold them. You big liar, you sold them a Bible that you said was a better translation, easier to read. No wonder it's easier to read. Half of it's not there. That's the reason it's easier to read. Let me give you a few verses here. Contacting the dead, Isaiah 8, verse 19 and 20, and talking about warning against that, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, you fooled around with those kind of things, the penalty was death. God said, kill them, get them out. Malachi chapter 2, verse 12, demons know the truth. And we're going to come back to these, but I want to get over here to some of the verses. I want to go on here, but we'll get back to these. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. When Christ came to them, they said, hey, Jesus, we know, but who are you? They know who Christ is. You're the Son of God. We know you, the demons. They know more than you know. They were the third of the angels. Of all the created angels that followed Satan, Revelation chapter 12 says, his tail, the old dragon, referring to Satan, took a third of the angels. Christ has two-thirds of them. Satan took a third of them. He deceived them. And you know what? He's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He'll get you if he can. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. Mark chapter 5, verses 2 and 6. Obsession with the dead. That's what J.B. Phillips was. Matthew 8:28 and Mark chapter 5, verses 2 to 17. They appear to be following the Lord, but they're not. Here's a few verses for that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and 16. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. And 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15, which is your memory verse. For even, O Satan, is transformed into an angel of light. His ministers, they're behind your pulpits today. How do you tell a church that teaches the Bible? Not by the looks of the preacher, not by the denomination. You could have a church that is a community church. It's not a Baptist, it's not a Lutheran, it's not a Methodist, it's not a Presbyterian, it's not a Unitarian, it's not a Roman Catholic, and it could be one of the best Bible teaching churches in town. And it has no denominational name on it whatsoever. God doesn't know anything about Methodists. Before John Wesley, there was no Methodist. John doesn't know anything about Lutheran. Before Martin Luther, there was no Lutherans. We've got some idiots that try to say the Baptists go back to John the Baptist. There ain't no sense even talking to them. I don't know where the Baptists come from. John the Baptist somewhere and brought them up the line. There is no denomination by Baptist, although we have a denomination because we're tax exempt like any other church else is. But when we go up to heaven, all denominations, Christ doesn't know a Baptist, and he doesn't know a Methodist, and he doesn't know a Lutheran, and he doesn't know a Catholic. He only knows you if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows you as a son of God, not because of a denomination. You can be a Baptist and go to heaven, or a Baptist and go to hell. You can be a Methodist going to heaven, or a Methodist going to hell. You're not going to heaven because you're a Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, or Roman Catholic. You're going to heaven because you're a son of God. As many as received him, Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 1, verse 12. We get so fighting for Baptist. Big deal. We get so fighting for Lutheran. Big deal. We ought to fight for Jesus Christ, amen? Shouldn't we do that? And we'd be a lot more united if we fought for Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Christ. That's it. Okay, we got to get some more here. We're going to the next one here, and he wrote the paraphrase Bible, the Living Bible paraphrase. His name is Kenneth Taylor, another guy that lost his voice. Time Magazine. In July issue of 1972, had this to say about his loss of ability to speak. This was Kenneth Taylor, the author of the Living Bible, paraphrased. Let me quote what Time Magazine wrote, July issue, 1972. Mysteriously, halfway through the paraphrase, Taylor lost his voice and still speaks in a hoarse whisper. A psychiatrist who examined him suggested that the voice failure was Taylor's psychological self-punishment for tampering with what he believed to be the Word of God. The paraphrase, my folks, come right from the Westcott and Hort. They have the same verses missing that you have here. In fact, everywhere, when I examined the paraphrase by Kenneth Taylor, my own study, everywhere the word repent in the book of Acts is used, he gives the wrong translation, showing that you have to change your life to go to heaven. That is not so. We can't even get Christians sometimes who have been Christians for 10 years to change their lives. Repent is a Greek word, metanoia, and whatever choose with salvation, it is change your mind. You can quit your smoking. You can quit your chewing. You can quit going with nasty girls that do the same thing. And you can go right to hell when you die. You can go to church every Sunday. You can be baptized and go right straight to hell. If you're trusting in you being good to go to heaven. Because not by works of righteousness, which we've done according to His mercy as He saved us. So, what are you saying is this? Kenneth Taylor translates repent, turn from sin. You can turn from sin and go right to hell. The Greek word is metanoia. It means change your mind. After you're saved, we ought to turn from sin. That Greek word is metamiomai. That's a different Greek word. The word metanoia is never used for salvation. Our English word is always translated repent, but when you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, you'll find it's metanoia, change your mind. Kenneth Taylor says, if you quit sinning, you can go to heaven. The Bible says you better change your mind, put your faith in Christ to go to heaven. So Kenneth Taylor would take you right straight to hell, giving up your smoking, your chewing, your cussing, and everything else, and lead you to believe that if you cleaned up your life, you're going to go to heaven. Well, that's not so. Because if you could clean up your life good enough to go to heaven, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to come down here and die. Amen. He died for me, and I thank Him for that. There may be over 30 million living Bibles in print today that have that damnable message that Kenneth Taylor lost his voice halfway through putting that trash out and telling you it's easier to read. Let's go to another. Philip Schaff. I just used three. Philip Schaff and the New American Standard Version. Schaff had the same problem as Taylor with his voice. Schaff's son wrote that as early as clear back, 1854, his father was having voice problems. His, that is Philip Schaff, voice was so affected that he could not speak in public so as to be heard. In 1892, now this is the American Standard Version, they come out lately with the New American Standard Version, which followed the American Standard Version, changed it a few places so we could get it copyrighted. In 1892, the power of articulated speech was gone. And this appears in The Life of Philip Schaff by his son David Schaff, 1897, page 171 and 446. Psalms 31:18 surely applies, let the lying lips be put to silence. God surely did, didn't He? Schaff was co-laborator on the New Greek Committee and director of the American Standard Version, which formed the foundation for the New American Standard Bible and the Living Bible. Could this be his judgment for the alternation of 30,000 changes from the majority text in the King James in the New American Standard Bible that's on your market today? The Living Bible by Kenneth Taylor is a direct paraphrase of the work of Schaff. Schaff went on to teach at Union Theological Seminary in New York because, as he stated, and I quote, so liberal as to allow for all of my dissenting views on these and other points. This is the man who was laid the foundation for editing the New American Standard Bible with its 30,000 changes from the majority text. Sort of a shock, isn't it? Let me give you some. We have just a little bit of time. Let me give you, I'm going to skip those and come back to that next week because I want to get on the verses here. Okay, let me give you this. Okay, we'll come back and get the preface of the King James next week, but I want to give you the verses here. Okay, here we go. Let me flip this here, and we have the overheads here for this. These are sort of interesting. Okay, let's throw this up here, and review omissions reference the New King James Translation, and also the NIV and the New American Standard Bible. Now, follow along with me. The New King James Translation, when omitting a verse, will use a footnote such as NU omits so-and-so verse. The N stands for, as we said, the 26th edition of Nussel Allen Greek New Testament. The U stands for the United Bible Society Greek New Testament. That has to be on your test. The NASB will put a footnote stating, and this is tricky, the most ancient manuscripts do not have this verse. Or you'll look in a footnote and it'll say, the verse is not found in the earliest manuscripts. These footnotes are almost universally referring to two manuscripts, the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. These two manuscripts are unreliable, as we've said. Keep this in your mind. The Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus disagree themselves. One has over half of the Old Testament missing. They disagree themselves in over 3,000 places in just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you so-called scholars are going to use those two manuscripts to give me something to read and call it a Bible? No, I'm not that dumb to be conned by that con game. Here we go. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Okay, that is omitted. You'll not find that in the NIV. The New King James also says, NU, which is Nestle Island United Bible Society, omits verse 21. So they're telling you, if you've got a New King James, hey, that verse isn't in the Bible. The next one we find, Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. Let me move this on up here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. Okay? We find out over there that it's omitted in the NIV. It's not there. The New King James, though, they put a footnote. NU omits verse 11. So they're telling you, we've got it here, but it's not in the manuscripts. Just go ahead and read it, but don't put any confidence in it. The NASB has it in brackets with a footnote, the most ancient manuscripts. And when you see MS, that's manuscript. When you see a MSS, that's manuscripts, do not contain this verse. Most ancient manuscripts do not contain this verse. You big bunch of liars, there's only two that don't contain this verse. 5,320 do. Would you say they lied to you, or would they not? I would say they would lie. Let me ask you a question now. Why would they lie to you to sell you a Bible? What's behind it? Money. Money, money. So about the time you have purchased the Living Bible, what did we have coming out? We had the New American Standard Bible. So now that's easier to read than the Living Bible, so you go get that. Then we have the Paraphrased Bible. Now we have the NIV. Now what was the matter with the NASB? I thought that was going to be the easiest to read. A little time later, a couple years later, we come out with the NIV. So now you're supposed to lay the New American Standard Bible on your shelf and buy the NIV. To put it bluntly, folks, these people play you for a sucker to get you to buy every new Bible they put out and sell you a bill of goods and hope you're dumb enough to buy it. That is the classical English language of how they sell Bibles. I hope you're dumb enough to believe the lie I tell you so you'll buy the next Bible that comes out and I can rake in some more money and put it in my pocketbook. That's what it's all about. And not only that, we have pastors who support it. That's a tragedy. I want to say this honestly, though. It takes a lot of study to pick this stuff out because they are shrewd in what they do. There are a lot of good pastors who have followed their peers instead of doing their own study. The Bible College, Grand Rapids Bible College in Grand Rapids, which changed its name to Cornerstone Bible College, I called their president because we got a magazine from them, and he quoted on the front and used the NIV. So I called his secretary, and I said, "Do you know?" She said, "I go to a Baptist church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and that's all we use is the NIV. I said, "Can I shock you for a minute?" And she said, "Well, don't do it too bad." I said, "Well, it probably will shock you. The NIV is one of the most corrupt counterfeit Bibles ever put out by any human being." "You gotta be kidding." I said, "Would you like for me to send you the information?" She said, "I not only like for you to send it, sir, I want you to talk to the president of the college because he has no idea." I said, "That's why I called." I called. He wasn't there. He called me back 2 days later. And he said, "Pastor Younce," he said, "I had no idea." He said, "Would you send me the information you have on that?" And he was getting ready to go on vacation to Florida. That was probably, I think, 2 weeks ago. And haven't heard back from him yet, but I sent him the information. Oh, he didn't know. I'm sure he's a good man. I'm sure she is a good. I'm sure her pastor is a good church. But because they followed what their peers have said, where they graduated from college and come on down and didn't do your own study. Do you know in Timothy? I want to show you something. Go with me to the book of Timothy, all right? And I want to show you why you should never sit in church and not take your Bible and not question your pastor. Question every pastor that gets up behind the pulpit. If you got a question, you ought to be able to go to that pastor and ask him anything you want to ask him, and he ought to be able to prove it from the Bible. Not what the Baptist church says, or the Lutheran church, who cares what they say? What does God say? He's not really interested in your opinion. He's interested in what you think of his opinion. That's what he's interested in. Go with me to Timothy here, and let me show you something here if we can here. Excuse me, 2 Timothy. Now let's go over here to verse 15, chapter 2 and verse 15. And this is what God wants you to do. Don't just go to church and hope the preacher's going to jack you up some Sunday morning, get you all set, solve all your problems. He says, study to show thyself approved. Who's supposed to study? You! Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're to study. You're to put your nose in that Bible and study so you know something and you can prove it by the word of God. Not because the preacher said it. Don't make a difference what I say. If I can't say, here it is, verse in Scripture, throw it out the window and forget it. Okay, let's go here because we only got just about, I think, 7 minutes. Here we go. Matthew 23:14, omitted in the NIV. The New King James footnote, NU, omits verse 14. Thank you for telling us that the Nestle Allen United Bible Society, who are you, United Bible Society, except another organization that it puts out the Nestle Allen and hopes that we get a different translation, so you'll buy it, we can get it copyrighted, and we'll rake in some more money from the ignorant public. That's exactly what it amounts to. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. No wonder they wanted this one out. It describes them, doesn't it? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and you hypocrites. You devour widows' houses. Yes, you do. Not only widows' houses, but anybody else in the public is dumb enough to send them some money and buy another new version. And for a pretense you make long prayers, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. I believe if I was their editors, I'd take it out too if I tried to deceive you, wouldn't I? Mark 11:26, omitted in the NIV, and the NASB footnote says, many manuscripts do not contain this verse. Let me ask you a question. How many are the many manuscripts? Two. Two basic manuscripts. You lied to us again. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Well, no wonder. I don't think we want much to do with that verse. Okay, let's go here. We got a few minutes left here. Let me give you some more. Here. These are not extensive in any means. They're only enough to give you and whet your taste to show you how tricky they are, what they have done, and maybe enhance, as Tim said downstairs. Well, that was very good. He said, you'll get enough of a foundation to go ahead and do your studying for yourself. Okay, let's look at some more. Okay, we take Mark chapter 9 in verse 44 and 46. Not there. Verse 44, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Left it out twice. Mark chapter 15, verse 28, the NIV. And we use that mostly. I made the comparison because the NIV is your largest selling Bible, as I can find out, on the market today. Mark 15, 28, omitted. The New American Standard Bible footnote. Many manuscripts do not contain this verse. Here's the verse. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. Why would you leave that out? Luke 17:36, omitted in the NIV. And then here has the footnote. Many manuscripts do not contain this verse. Really? Why didn't you tell us many of them do, like 5,300? Why didn't you tell us many of them do? Only two do not have it. Two men should be in the field, and one should be taken, the other left. Acts 8:37, omitted in the NIV. Now, this is a very important verse here. The NASB footnote says, many manuscripts do not contain this verse. Really? New King James footnote, here we have, NU. Nestle Allen, United Bible Society, omits verse 37, so don't you believe it. It doesn't really belong there. We're going to put it in there. It makes nice reading, but don't believe it. And here's what that says. You remember when Philip and God directed him to the eunuch to lead him to Christ because he had a desire to hear the right message? Philip said unto him, if thou believest with all of thy heart, in fact, the eunuch said prior to that, he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, what hindereth me from being baptized? Well, baptism is a testimony of your faith in Christ. Baptism doesn't save you. The water don't save you. The blood of Christ saves you. Philip answered him and said, when he said, what hindereth me from being baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all of thine heart, that means in your mind there are no reservations that Jesus Christ died for you. And thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's your salvation verse. And they took the whole verse out. Took it all out completely. I'd like for you to take and go over to Acts 8:37 in your NIV, Doreen, and would you try to find it, if you will. And show it to Tim to make sure we have, in the eyes of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, right? Or in the mouth of two or three witnesses. How does that verse go? I don't know how it goes. What the hell? I'm going to have to study up on that. Okay, while you're looking that up, let's go on. John chapter 5, verse 4, omitted in the Amplified, the NIV, NASB footnote. Many manuscripts do not contain the remainder of verse 3, nor verse 4. Thanks for telling us. Acts chapter 28 and 29, omitted in the Amplified, the NIV, the New American Standard Bible footnote. Many manuscripts do not contain this verse. Thank you. New King James footnote says the NU omits verse 29. Thank you for telling us it doesn't belong there. Can you find over there in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, please read the verse? Well, let Tim see it, because Tim can probably find it. Acts 8:37. Tim, just read it to me, will you? You got to be there. That's the Bible, Tim. Oh, no, Dad. Tim, it's got to be there. That's the Bible. They sold you a Bible and said this is the easiest reading Bible there is. Okay, well, thank you for your help and your participation. Acts, go ahead. Well, yeah, that's where you'll have to go there. Acts chapter 28, verse 29, the same thing. The footnotes, many manuscripts do not contain this verse, and when he had said unto them these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. That doesn't appear there. Okay, they've taken it out. Now, we've got just a couple of minutes to try to get a couple more in here. And there we go. Okay, parts of verses that are missing we have here, okay? In Luke chapter 11, verse 2, these words are missing. Now, this is the Lord's Prayer. Our, which art in heaven, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. That doesn't appear in your... You'd like to look that up there in Luke 11, verse 2? That's the Lord's Prayer in Luke. Half of it's missing. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Tim, you have a King James, Tim? You got the NIV? Okay, well, look that up in Luke 11, 2 for me. Doreen, what are you on now? What kind of Bible you got now? King James. King James. Well, you switched. Dear God. Okay. If you'll notice there in verse 2, this is missing from the King James. Our, which art in heaven, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth, does not appear. Isn't that something? Luke 11:4, right on down. All of this is omitted, but deliver us from evil. Now, that's not there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, the NIV and the New American Standard Bible omit. Oh, I don't have it up there, do I? Oh, yeah, we've got to put it up here for you. What the heck? No wonder. I'm going to get it on the overhead here. Those on the tape, just hold on a minute. I'll be back. We've got to put it up here. Yeah, well, you got to see. I went to all this work making overhead. You got to see this thing. There you go. In Matthew 6:13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen, is missing out of your NIV. Want to look that up, Tim? Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, all of that's missing. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. Chapter 6, verse 13. Yep. Isn't that something? And then the most tricky in the Catholic Bible, and then we'll stop here. Did anything click here yet? Okay, computer's on. And go with me over here to Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. And I want to show you one of the most tricky little things that they've done. Just one of many. In verse 25, isn't it Roman Catholicism and some of the others that say that, about Christ and especially your cults, I should say, not so much Roman Catholicism, but your cults, that Mary, Jesus was born as an illegitimate son, they say. And that Mary had a lot of other children before she had Christ. So, that's very interesting because in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, in the New American Standard, the NIV, and the New King James translation, they omit in verse 25 her firstborn. She brought forth a son, and he called his name Jesus, but they left out her firstborn. So she could have had many other children before Christ, but God made it clear, which if she had, then he wouldn't have been born of a virgin, would he? Isn't that tricky, that they took out her firstborn, which leaves it open, because she could have had other children before Christ, and then Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us, would have proved that God was a liar in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and Isaiah was not an inspired prophet, and all the prophecies about Christ cannot be true because Mary was not born of a virgin. She had other children before Christ, so they took out the firstborn. God put firstborn in to let you know Mary was, or Christ was born of a virgin. Isn't that tricky? Now you begin to see how some of these things go. We're going to have to stop there, I know, from the time that our tape is up. And let's take and have a word of prayer. And I want to thank you folks so much for being able to be here tonight and to learn some of these things, because you are to study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And thank God for you. Privileged to have you tonight. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful to you, and we thank you so much. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the King James translation. Thank you we have a Bible that hasn't left out 64,000 words. Thank you we haven't had a Bible that left out Mark chapter 9, verse 44 and 46. And also Luke chapter 4, verse 8. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And thank you, dear Father, that we have a complete Bible. Every word of God is pure. Not half of it obliterated, left out, supplemented with synonyms and so forth and 50-cent adjectives. Thank you for the Word of God as we have it. Thank you for these folks here willing enough to study and to be able to defend your Word that you've given us. Thank you for them. They're precious. Help each one of us.